Thank you. Just mildly off center, you know. I don't want to just, you know, look at this side because the pulpit's over here, and then these guys, they're just like starving for Jesus, and I'm just talking to you. That would be unfair. It's not OCD. It's caring. All right. Well, before I say anything, Melissa is holding a box, and inside this box are billions and billions of gravity notebooks. And guess what? Tonight only, they are free. So, we want all of you guys to get a gravity notebook, draw funny squiggly pictures, or actually take notes. But everybody make sure you get a notebook because we want those things gone. I need space in my office. I do have an office. I work here, you know. You think I just sit in the hallway? Golly, man. Sipping on that Haterade, Annie. All right. Well, now as they are handing out these notebooks, I know it's difficult to focus because you're getting free things. I know you do. But while they're handing out these notebooks, I want to ask you guys a question. What has this whole month been about? The whole month of August, we've been on a series. What's it about? Heroes. Awesome. Right? We've heard about different biblical heroes. We've talked about some of the attributes of a hero. Tonight, we will continue talking about what makes a hero. And this message is called When It Hurts to Be the Hero. All right, now, before I get started, I know some of you guys are newer and maybe don't know me so well. And for some of you guys that have been around for a long time, maybe you still don't know a whole lot about me. But I want to let you guys in on a little secret. I kind of like comic books. You know? Just kidding. Actually, I am a full-on comic book nerd. Ask my wife. Like, we've been moving, packing up, and we just moved into a new house last month. And for months, all my comic books have been, like, packed away in boxes, plural. And I was finally able to, like, get them out and set them up. And they're currently, like, in three different rooms of my house, taking up multiple shelves. And I'm just like, it's so nice just to be able to look at all my super nerdy comic books. So, how many of you guys are, like, hardcore comic book nerds? Awesome. You are my favorite. I know Ashlyn is. Yeah! She is hardcore. And I compliment her on her t-shirts on a regular basis. So, great job again tonight. Well, like I said, I'm a super comic book nerd. One of the biggest things that I really love about comic books, though, is that when you look at a superhero, the world loves superheroes, right? I mean, look at the box office numbers. The biggest grossing movies for the last few years have been like superhero movies, right? I mean, Spider-Man was the top, and then Batman was the top, and Avengers was the top. Like, they're making tons and tons of money. People love superheroes. And one of the reasons I think that people love superheroes so much and that they can identify with these movies so much, it's not because, you know, we all secretly have powers and it's like, oh, that's totally me, I get that. But really, in reality, superheroes and superhero movies and stuff, they're really just like an exaggerated mirror of ourselves, right? They're just like a blown up, way out of proportion version of who we really wish we could be. Like, I don't necessarily wish that I could shoot lasers out of my eyes, but I do really wish that, you know, I could help people and that I could, you know, save somebody's life and that I could do something amazing, right? And we all kind of have this thing. It's like innate inside of us that We just want to do something. We want to be significant. We want to be admired. We want to be loved. We want to be respected, right? We want to be the hero in somebody's life. And it's just this natural thing inside of us. Maybe we don't always want to be the one that's like getting all the credit and be like followed around by people, that side of it. But we do want to be that important to somebody. We do want to have some aspect of that. That's why all of us can relate to these movies. And when we're reading comic books, if you read comic books, that's why you can relate to these characters, because really, they're just like a funhouse mirror version of us, right? But like I said, I love comic books, but of all the hundreds of comic books that I've read and own, and of the thousands of superheroes out there, another Jared trivia question. My all-time favorite superhero... No, it's not myself, because that would be narcissism. And as I said a few weeks ago, I'm the most humble person I know. But Batman, I heard like a million people say it. I don't know like if there is a hint or something, but yes, Batman is my all-time favorite superhero. To me, he's just the coolest around. Batman, to me, is the truest picture of a real deal hero in comic books, because he wasn't born with superpowers. He didn't have some crazy X gene that activated as he grew up. He wasn't sent from some alien planet, and because we have lighter gravity and a red sun, he gets special powers. That's, if you didn't know, that's Superman. Like I said, this is gonna be difficult for me not to just nerd out up here, because it's bad. He wasn't any of these things. He wasn't transformed by toxic waste or radiation. Batman is a human being. He's just a regular human being who pours everything that he has, his body, his wealth, his intellect, his life, into being a hero. And he's the best, right? I mean, you can't really argue it. And I know a lot of people are like, but Superman's more powerful. Well, I would invite you to just read a few comic books, particularly the Hush series of the Batman graphic novels, and you will see Batman whoops Superman, and it's awesome. A huge two-page spread of Batman going, and he's got a K-ring, that's a kryptonite ring, he's got a K-ring on, and he just jacks the dude. And everyone's like, but if he doesn't have the kryptonite? But he does, because he's a billionaire, all right? So Batman beats Superman, and you can tweet that. But I love Batman, all right? Now, Now, before we get too far, before you guys, like, think that I'm preaching the gospel of Batman tonight, let's go ahead and look at some biblical parallels to the story of Batman. You see, like I said before, the reason why these stories ring so true to us is because at the heart of the character of Batman, it's built upon, like, certain truths, right? It's built upon certain things that everybody understands, everybody has a sense of, and so that's why we can relate with it. And the Bible is true. You see, Batman is a fictional story, a fictional character that is telling us about a true thing. The Bible is filled with true stories that are telling us the truth about God, right? And so there are going to be parallels. The Bible says that God is the author of all truth, right? He will lead us into all truth. And so when we see things in life that reflect truth, it's because he is God and he will be reflected in everything, right? All of creation sings his praise, even ridiculous comic books that were doing it by accident, right? Because God is truth, and so wherever there is truth, it is reflecting an attribute, a characteristic, a truth about God. So, for instance, in just about every comic book, there is a battle of good versus evil, or right versus wrong. The Bible very clearly shows us that we are involved in a spiritual battle every single day, and that there is a good God and an evil devil that are waging war for your soul. If you guys could throw up Ephesians 6, we're going to go to verses 10 through 12. A final word, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. That's, when you really, like, think about it, that's pretty heavy. I was reading about this pop singer, Ariana Grande, is that her name? Yes, okay. I really cannot tell you any song that she sings. I know that she's on some show and she has an annoying voice on the show. You guys know what I'm talking about. So, but she was even talking about how she is plagued by demons. Like, I don't know if you guys, read about the people you listen to, but she was saying that she's constantly being plagued by demons. And, like, one night she was trying to go to bed and she couldn't sleep and she, like, rolled over and she just felt like this cold, dark presence in her room, and she was like freaking out and stuff. And she talked about another time where they were heading to a haunted house, and she just felt like this evil sense around her, and then she had like visions of demonic spirits and stuff. And I mean, this is somebody that's just, Hollywood, that kind of person. Crazy. But this is a normal, not to my knowledge, a Christian believer or whatever, but still they understand, like, there is evil in the world. There is something that is demonic. There are other powers in the world rather than just the flesh, right? And if somebody that is completely, whatever, can realize this as Christians, we need to take the responsibility and know that my life, every single day, I am walking into a battlefield. We can't afford to be ignorant about this stuff. We can't afford to try and, just pretend like it's all good and nothing's going to happen, right? C.S. Lewis actually said, there are two lies that the devil wants us to believe. One is that he doesn't exist, and the other is that he does exist and he has all of this power. And both of these, if we believe them, will destroy us, right? If we believe he doesn't exist and we walk around pretending like he doesn't exist, then you know what? We're opening ourselves up. We're just being vulnerable. And if we believe that he exists and we attribute all of this power and all of this authority to the devil, we're giving that to him. When God gave us the authority, he gave us his spirit to be able to walk in authority. And so when we start giving that authority over to the devil, it is ours to give with our words, with our actions, with our beliefs. If we attribute that power to him, he'll take it. And we're not going to get it back until we take it back. Like I said, we are walking in a spiritual battle every single day. Now, on top of the battle going on all around us, there's also the battle inside of us as well. We're plagued with temptation and wicked thoughts, even as we are trying to live righteously. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. All right, so let's go to Romans 7, verses 15 through 20. All right, it says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong here. It is sin living in me that does it. Again, this battle is happening inside of us. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. All right, now, I mean, it seems like it's kind of this rabbit trail after a while. It's like, I do what I don't want to do, I don't do what I do want to do, and I just fail. You're right. Basically, we could sum that whole thing up in epic Christian fail, right? Because, now think about it. This guy that's writing this is not just some, ho-hum, Sunday, Wednesday Christian kind of guy. He's not a CNE kind of Christian, Christmas and Easter. He is Paul, as in the Apostle Paul, right? And so, this dude knew what he was talking about. He wrote most of the New Testament, and still he's like, I'm in this battle inside of myself, And in my sinful nature, I can't do anything right. He goes on to talk about how, you know, I have been crucified with Christ and yet I live. It's not I, but Christ who lives within me. So in this power that we have now in Christ, yes, in my sinful nature, in my flesh, I can't win. How many of you guys have ever tried to overcome sin? Hopefully all of us. How many of you guys have ever tried to, overcome temptation? You're like, I'm just not going to think about it. Crap, I'm thinking about it. Crap, I'm thinking about it, right? Don't think of a pink elephant. What are you thinking of? Sheep. no. You see, we always, try all these different things and try to will ourselves out of sin. But in our sinful nature, we cannot do it. We simply do not have the power, right? But with Christ living in us, when our sinful nature, when we put it on the cross, when we surrender ourselves and we surrender our own desires, our sinful desires to God, he will replace those with his desires, with godly desires. Not only will we have the right wants, but he will also empower us to be able to fulfill those things, to walk in those things. And so we can have a totally new life. And this is what Paul is explaining in this section. Now, like I said, he's a big time dude, right? He is like hardcore Christian. He's a hero of the Bible. And he happens to remind me a lot of Batman. All right? How? Let me tell you. Well, Batman, born into the wealthy Wayne family and lived a life of luxury. His life was changed when his parents were killed on the way home from a theater on a strip of pavement called Crime Alley. Because of this, he devoted his life to justice, fighting crime, and protecting the innocent. He sacrifices everything in order to fulfill this goal. Paul, all right, that was Batman. This is Paul. Paul, born and lived as an upstanding Jew, in his own words, a Hebrew of Hebrews, even a Pharisee. All right, Philippians 3:5. His life was changed when he was confronted by Jesus while on his way to kill and imprison Christians on the road to Damascus, Acts 9:1-18. After this confrontation, he devoted his life to the spreading of the gospel, witnessing to Jews and Gentiles, and leading people to Christ, Acts 13, and most of the New Testament. He sacrificed everything in order to fulfill this goal, Philippians 3:12-14. Right, so there's some parallels here, right? You see, Paul was a guy that had it going on. Like I said, he was a hero of the Bible, but one word I want to draw your attention to is sacrifice. Right, this is the real big connection here, is sacrifice. What makes a hero? Right? It doesn't mean that you're a hero just because you do something that nobody else can do. If I'm the strongest man in the world, I have supernatural strength. Samson is not often remembered as a hero as much as he is remembered for all the failures that he had, right? But he was the strongest man who ever lived. He had supernatural God strength. But he wasn't called a hero for his strength, right? Just because we can do something that other people can't do does not make us a hero. Actually, what makes us a hero is the willingness to sacrifice in order to save or protect something or someone. What sacrifice means, it's defined as an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. You see, it's not just enough for a hero to do something that no one else can do simply because they have the means to do it. That's not what makes them a hero. It's the sacrifice. When you're willing to stand in the gap, when you're willing to do something at the risk to yourself, at the risk to something that you hold dear, I'm willing to give this up for you. That's when you become a hero, right? Paul understood sacrifice. In 2 Corinthians 11, he lists off the many hardships he had to endure in order to further the gospel. If you want to bring up 2 Corinthians 11:23, I'm going to start in the second half of that verse. It says, I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number and face death again and again. Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Right? He's saying, even though I'm going through all of this stuff, all of these terrible things that are happening to me, still my daily concern is for the churches, is for furthering God's kingdom, is for the well-being of the people in the church. Right? And he's willing to continue going on. You know, Paul's the one that says, I press on towards the goal. Not that I have attained it. Right? That's the Paul we're talking about. He's the one that's like, in spite of all of these things, I'm willing to keep going, keep pressing on, and go further so that the gospel can go further, right? He knows about sacrifice. Now, like Pastor Drew said last week, there will come a time when we face hardships. We will have trouble, but it is what we do in those troubling times that say whether we are heroes or not. Back to Batman. In the Christopher Nolan Batman movie trilogy, which is awesome, we see the progression of Batman becoming a hero. From the start of the first movie to the end of the third, we see him grow from a rich guy fighting thugs because he's angry to a man willing to sacrifice his life to save a city that's turned its back on him. And the second movie, we see that it was actually Batman himself who chose to take on the hate of Gotham in order to save them from what would have been the Joker's death blow to the city. Now, normally, this would be where I, like, cue the clip, guys, and I, you know, have us watch that scene in the movie. However, I feel like this will be more fun. Pastor Jason, in that bucket down there is a prop. I'm going to need a volunteer. It has to be a guy, because it has to be somebody that can act. Right here. Come on up. Now, I don't fully expect you to know the script. Do you want to be Batman or do you want to be Gordon? All right. You got to do the voice, though. Okay. All right, put it on. Let's go. Now, I will tell you guys that this is not the only Batman mask that I own. It's the best, though. It's my favorite. All right. Harvey, oh, guys, if you want to play that music that I gave you earlier, you got to get in the mood, right? Harvey's reputation, everything we fought for, undone. Whatever chance you gave us of fixing our city dies with Harvey's reputation. We bet it all on him. The Joker took the best of us and tore him down. People will lose hope.
They won't. They must never know what he did.
Five dead, two of them cops. You can't just sweep that off.
But the Joker cannot win. Gotham needs its true hero.
No!
You either die a hero or live enough to see yourself become the villain. I can do those things because I'm not a hero. Not like that. I kill those people. That's what I can be.
No. No, you can't. You're not.
I'm whatever Gotham needs me to be. Call it in.
Woo! All right, that was lovely. All right, thank you. Excellent job. Let's hear it for Batman. All right. That was super cool. All right. So, like I said before, it takes more to be a hero than to do something that no one else can do. It takes sacrifice, right? Just like Batman here. Anybody could go and beat Two-Face. He was just a guy that burned his face. You know? Ding! Not too difficult. But what not everyone was willing to do was to be able to cover up what he had done and take on all the blame, all the heat that should have gone on him. But Batman knew that if that happened, that Gotham would basically tear itself apart and the Joker would win. See, it takes doing something that will cost you, giving up something that you consider valuable for the sake of something worth even more. That is what sacrifice is. And that's what we are about as Christians, right? We are supposed to be laying down our lives for the sake of something that is worth more. All right, band, if you guys want to come on up. Short and sweet tonight. You see, we've talked a lot about heroes, but in this way, there can be only one. Batman was able to temporarily cover the actions of Harvey Dent, Two-Face, but the peace he buys with it only lasts so long. Here's the deal, though. Jesus took on the sins of all of humanity. He died in our stead so that we could have life, the love of God, and peace everlasting. See, that's the difference. When we put our faith in another person, we're going to get let down. When we put our trust in some earthly hero, we'll get the very best that an earthly hero can do. That's not the best. That's not even sufficient, right? Eventually they'll fail. Eventually they'll fall. See, with Christ in us, we have access to God. And he empowers and equips us to live the life that our souls have been yearning for. Remember when I was talking about how everyone has inside of them that yearning for something more, that yearning to be significant, to be important, to be known, to be loved, to fulfill your purpose. We all have that. The only place that you can fulfill that, the only place that you can live that out and be exactly where you're supposed to be is inside the will of God. I've seen people spend their entire lives searching. I have seen people going job after job, career after career, title after title, working, sweating, pouring everything they have into it, and nothing. I still have this emptiness. I still have this desire. Like, why can't I fill this? Because that is a hole that only God can fill. That is a hole that can only be bridged by Jesus. And we need him in order to do the things that we were made to do. You cannot do that without him. All right? Now, like I said, you will never be fulfilled outside of Christ. And for some of you guys, like, you know that, you've heard it before, and you've made a decision like, I want to turn everything over to God. I want to give my life to him. And I want to be fulfilled. I know that only God can fulfill me, and so I want him, right? But not all of us have made that decision before. Not all of us have said that before. Maybe some of us didn't even know that before. And so tonight, I want to go ahead and give you guys an invitation. You know, if you're the person that's been sitting there looking and waiting and having this burning desire in your heart, I know that there's something more. I know that I was created for something. I know that there's more than what I've been told. There's more than what I've been shown. I know that there's something out there, and I need to find out what it is. If that's you tonight, In just a second, I'm going to have you come up to the front here. And it's not going to be anything weird or creepy. Just about everybody in the room is